Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started.
Carrie, welcome to the Organize 365 podcast.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
This is going to be a great conversation. Before we get started, can you tell me, how did you first find Organize 365?
I was trying to figure that out. I know I listened to you on a Get Organized HQ, like a meeting of organizing bloggers. I don't know if that was the first time I've listened to you, but that is really what triggered, like, I bought the book and I started really looking into it at that point. That was in 2019, and I was really, really busy at that point, and I needed some help. And it wasn't like how to make your own laundry detergent or stuff. You know, I just needed some how to get rid of paper, how to, you know, declutter, really practical things.
So who, you're busy, who's in the family with you that you were busy with?
Well, I have a husband who hates clutter. We are complete and utter opposites on that. I have two kids still at home. One's 18 and he's a senior, and one is 16 and she's a junior. And then I have one in college who's 20, and we have a puppy.
Oh, geez. So they would have all been in middle school and high school when you first found me then.
Yes. Yep. I think one was in middle school and two were in high school.
And those high school years are so busy. I mean, they're just like, it's just like so busy.
It is. Well, and the two oldest are boys. They play football. So that's a huge time consumption. I was a veterinarian. I sold my practice at the end of 2019. So I had all of the financial papers and the wrap. Like, I thought, you know, you sell your business about a month later, you're done. You take watercolor class or whatever. It was not like that at all. And we had also bought a house in 2018 and started this humongous renovation. So that was ongoing. And then COVID came in 2020. So all three were at home doing virtual school. It was crazy during that time.
Was your renovation done when COVID started?
No, we were in the middle of it. So I had a box of, that's how I kept that organized. Like, I had file folders in a box and was trying to keep that going. The business part, I had boxes for, you know, financial records, payroll, all that kind of stuff that you have to keep. I was trying to figure out, how long do I have to keep all this? You know, does it have to be locked up, or, you know, just all of that too. Yeah, it was crazy, crazy times. But I said that in my interview, I was like a huge golden window, because it's like, I'm retired, yeah. Sort of. So.
Well, and then you were stuck at home, yeah, with all this paper. I mean, like, yeah. So what had, like, you tried before? Like, if you had your own business, like, obviously you had some organizational systems before. What had you tried before that worked? What wasn't working? Why were you looking for something different?
I could never get a handle on paper. Like, I'm an Army brat. So all the way up until college, we moved. You only could have, I don't remember, 7,000 pounds or something of household goods. Yeah. So you didn't collect a lot of stuff. Well, my dad retired. I had just started college. And from that point forward, I don't think my parents got rid of anything really that came into the house. Plus, they collect paper. If it's a book, you keep it. If it's paper, you file it. They have National Geographics that went back to the year they got married in 1962. Southern Living magazine from 1980 onward. It was crazy. And I just never really had an example of how to sort through paper and get rid of it. It's like, oh, no, you got to keep it all. Let's file it. And it was very organized, but it was just overwhelming. And it sat around because I was really busy and I was working or whatever. So it sat around waiting to be filed, you know, or do something with it a lot. So it was in stacks and piles and boxes.
Yeah, I have to know how much you actually got rid of.
Ooh, a lot. I had notes from veterinary school, and I graduated like 30 years ago. I had paper boxes that I stored things in, the paper, computer paper comes in, and it was a lot. I mean, it was easily 20 or 30 boxes of stuff. And plus what was in the file cabinets and stuff. It was very organized, but it was taking up a whole room that you just don't need all that. It was crazy.
So how did you do that? Like, what did you do first?
First, I did what you said, because like bills and mail and all that, you know, it gets stacked up on the counter waiting till I have time to go through it and all of that. And it would just sit there, and you're constantly thinking like, did I pay the water bill? Did I pay the electricity? You know, and
yes,
it's always there. So I went around and I got all that, and I organized the current situation. And then I tackled all the rest of the stuff really as I was doing 100 days. I mean, because once I got going, I just kept going.
So explain how that worked for you. How did the starting the Sunday Basket just dovetail into doing the actual home organization? Like, was it conscious, or did it just kind of flow, or do you remember?
It just worked. And it was it was very practical. It was very short. Like, it was easy to do. When it was time to pay the bills, they were all right there. Like, all you have to do is drag that green folder out and start paying the bill. It was very simple. And it really did not take a huge chunk of time to do that. And it was so successful. Then that just led into the other things. And I had also read, I think around in there too, I read Paper Solution, and it was just a tidal wave of organizing that happened. And I had time to do it.
So as you were doing the Sunday Basket, and then you start organizing your home, and you have all these, really the ages of your kids are like, they're well on their way into adulthood. Like, they're in that transition of like, what do I want my apartment or school or whatever to be? As you were organizing the home, did they help you make decisions? Did you notice any of them following along with you? Or no, they were just busy doing the school stuff, and this is what you did when they were in school.
I mean, they're just busy in general, but I do try to, I guess, impart some habits with them. And like my oldest is in college. He lives in a house. He has to pay bills and things like that. So I've tried to get him started at least on the basic process, and it has helped him immensely. He is also not an organized person at all. My middle one is very organized just naturally. And it has helped him with schoolwork and calendar and test dates and all of that too. So it's good. And it's funny because I know there's like a lunchbox or something along those lines too, which I didn't really look into enough, because I think now that probably would have been the greatest gift for all.
Yeah. The launch binder helps them with like all the things that are launching. We just did a paper organizer retreat at the time of this recording, and I was sitting on the floor in inside, like as a preschool teacher with all the adults around me, and I was explaining the launch binder and how it really is that 16 to 25 year old leaving their childhood bedroom into their whatever they're going to live in as an adult. And it really is a communication tool more so than even a binder of like, okay, so let's talk about medical. What's your medical history? What medicines have you been on? What do we use as our over-the-counter medicines of choice? Okay, let's talk about food. Like, what proteins do you like? Do you have any sensitivities? Like, how do you make simple meals? Okay, let's talk about budgeting. Budgeting is actually a funnel. It's not like you could just divide money into envelopes. Like, you have to pay rent, and then you have to pay for food, and then you have to pay for, you know, transportation. And usually there is no money in your 20s after that. So that's why you have no money, is because these big things have always been paid for you. And they're big, like they can't be made smaller or not paid, like they're like recurring payments. And so that launch binder goes through all of those things. It's so much more like you used to go in your parents' bedroom and steal their hairspray and brush and deodorant and soap and all that. And you actually have to buy that now. And like, how much of it should you have? And how often do you buy it? And they're so used to getting brand new wardrobes every couple of years because they've grown so much. And so kids that are in their 20s are like, how come I don't have any new clothes? Well, because you stopped growing. Like, adults don't buy brand new clothes all the time. Okay, so then how many pants should I have? How many shirts should I have? All of that is in the launch program. All of that is in the binder. And it's a way to have the communication, but also a way for young adults to get the information on their own and ask questions versus parents trying to remember and like just spewing information as they remember, because you don't think about that. Like until they're sick, you don't think about like, oh yeah, okay, in our family, we use Advil versus Tylenol and here's why, and here's how many we take. And you know, everybody has their own little thing that they do. And when they're sick, they're not near you and they don't have that stuff.
It was a huge learning curve. And it was funny because he has a binder. Like I made one for each of my kids, and all that stuff is in the binder because we've had to address it as we go. You know, he wanted a cookbook of all my good, you know, recipes and things like that, you know, and it's like, you've thought of every step of living like an adult and put it in there. It's crazy.
Yeah. At one point we had 6 21, 22 year olds working here in Organize 365. And we took them all through the launch program and they're like, oh my gosh, this is every single question I've had is in this binder. Okay. Like you've thought of every question, like we call this hashtag adulting in the dorm, and you have all of the questions and answers in this binder. They're like, this is so cool. Because
it's so funny. I have a lot of younger people working in the veterinary environment too. And one of our staff, we had staff meeting every week. And one of the meetings every month was like on adulting, like how to jump off your car if the battery's dead, like how to hook up the financial stuff, like how do you start saving money so you can start investing, and you know, just things like that. And they loved them too. Yeah. And it was fun.
Yeah, it's so fun. A lot of times when you read about company culture and like how to develop a good workplace, you often think of it from your own point of view. You know, I'm 50, I'm a Gen Xer. Like I think about how do we support the women who have high school age kids and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But we had such a large group of early 20-year-olds. And when you read the reports about what people want in a workplace is, yes, they want flexibility and some people want work from home, but a lot of the people in their 20s don't want to work from home because they want the culture, they want to learn, they want to be in that environment, that new community. These are their new friend groups. And so, yeah, any of those extracurricular things or HR things that you can do that will help them in this new phase of life is really, really welcomed.
Mm-hmm. It was. They liked it. I think at first they thought it was weird, but I'm like, you're going to appreciate this someday. So,
yeah. It is funny because I've never worked in corporate America. You know, I was at home and then I was a teacher and then I was a stay-at-home mom. But now that we have a company, it's really fun to do life with people during the day, during the workday, because it's really fun for me. It's just sitting around the conversations you have at lunchtime and like, we'll call it recess. And we go for a walk. We're like, okay, after lunch, we're going to take a recess. And everybody's like, yeah, we get to go for a walk. And it's just fun. It's just fun to do life with other people and hear about their families that really like it.
Yeah. Well, it's your other family and you spend a ton of time with them. Mm-hmm. All your waking hours, really. So it, you know, at home, it's a very much smaller period of time.
Yeah. Okay. So when is the first time you started to notice that something was organized that was not organized before when you started doing this paper organizing journey?
It was very successful from the start. I mean, the first Sunday, like after you've had the Sunday basket sitting there for a week or whatever, and then you go to do the Sunday basket, it just worked. It was so, and still to this day, I'm just thrilled every time it works. You know, it's like, oh, I got all my stuff done. My calendar's already set up for the week. Like I love having a list of stuff to do on, usually it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and it's all organized. And it was just, I mean, it was just success from the beginning. And there, it, like if there's a time where you kind of don't do it or whatever, you realize it within a few weeks that you're not really putting in the effort and you can tell, but you just start doing it again and it just gets all straightened back out and it works.
Was it hard in the beginning to put things in there and know they were going to wait until Sunday instead of like doing them real quick or adding them to a to-do list? Was that hard for you to do?
I'm a natural list maker. I love lists, but once you put it in there and it comes out at the right time and nothing gets missed, it's just holding your list for you. And also my lists were always written on the back of an envelope or a sticky note or some other piece of paper on the back of it or what. So I only kept up with them for a day at best. So you're rewriting your list from what you remember, which, so it worked much better. So I was happy to let that go.
How long does it take you to do your Sunday basket on Sunday?
For the majority of it, I would say maybe an hour or so. you can, it really depends how much time I invest in other slash pockets or projects or things like that. I mean, right now it's been a very busy time with projects, and I'm keeping up with the football parent club accounting. And, you know, there's a lot of that kind of stuff, but I tend to spread that on the less busy days of the week. So really just Sunday basket is just my organizing for the household, probably an hour or so.
Okay.
I mean, honestly, Sunday's a busy day for us, and I usually do it on Monday morning. So
yeah, just, the day doesn't matter.
Yeah. I mean, I like doing it on Sunday because then you're ready, but it's just a busy day for us. So.
And are you liking having your weekdays available for, I mean, if you've sold your business, then I'm thinking that you probably have a Monday morning open to you, which you wouldn't have in 2018.
Right. True. My husband loves it because I'm his beck and call girl or whatever. So it's so funny because everybody's always horrified that I've sold my business. They're like, oh, what do you do all day? Like, you poor thing. And I was like, apparently there was a lot of stuff I was not doing, and that's what I do all day. So it's amazing how your days fill up. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
With tasks, not watercolor class, which is what I thought.
Well, and I think too, I mean, the ages of your kids, 16, 18, 20, there's a lot, like, even if they're all driving, that does not necessarily save you any time. It's, they're all moving to adult doctors, and then they all have continuing education, and then they're going to move out of the house. There's so much that happens for each individual, and you've got three of them. So really, I mean, your parenting is a full-time job.
It really is. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, poor things, I guess they were just flying by the seat of their pants. But like this summer, we had three surgeries. Thankfully, my kids are very healthy. I never really had to use the medical binder, but this summer, two knee surgeries and a back surgery on two different kids. So it was a lot, but it was organized and it's all in there. So it did help.
What story do you most want to share about your organizing journey?
I was overwhelmed. I was with, and I didn't really know, but if you just start and you just do the one thing, keep doing the one thing, then you can add one more thing until, and you just keep doing it. And I think it was something that probably could have been done even if I was still working or what, you know, because I never spent 8 hours doing it. It was in small chunks of time and, you know, just keep making forward progress and it gets done. It's crazy. But because we moved into this house before we sold our old house, because I was like, I'm not doing that. I'm not selling one and then moving. So we moved in over here and then I, you know, finished doing the entire old house. It was a big job, but it worked.
So you mentioned before that you were like writing to-do lists on the back of envelopes. You'd have a to-do list and you'd set it down and you'd start another to-do list. Do you still do that?
No. When I do the Sunday basket, I just, everything I think of or see or touch or whatever, when I'm doing the Sunday, I put it on this sheet and I use that. I create the calendar. I mean, I guess technically I'm writing it down on the calendar sort of by day. I don't set assign a time for everything. It's like on Monday, I'm doing these things, on Tuesday, these things or whatever. So I guess technically there is a list, but it just all stays together with the Sunday basket stuff. Although I do, before I get in the car, write a list because I like being organized and not wasting gas. So
did you think, because I will often say, like, I don't have a to-do list anymore. Like this morning, I had a list of all the things I need to get done today, but I don't have this ongoing to-do list. It's really hard to explain that to people, but it happens naturally, doesn't it? It's just natural. Yeah.
I do have a pocket. I put ideas for projects or things I want to do, but I'm just not ready to do.
Yeah.
And it just stays in there and it's good. And then when I have a chunk of time, I'm like, I'm going to start working on that trip or whatever.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that it was a lot and it was confusing. I mean, as we come out with the Productive Home Solution playbook, it's going to make it a little bit better to truly move from a reactive to a proactive life and get your entire home and paper and everything organized in a new phase of life is work. Like, it is work. It's going to take a significant amount of days and time, not a lot of time each day, but it's a lot of mental. like you're always thinking about it, you're problem solving it. Like as you're driving, you're like, oh, maybe this would work. Or you wake up in the morning, you're like, oh, I have an idea that I want to implement over there. So there's as much or more mental going on as there is physical. And it takes, you know, a couple of years to actually get this all done. It's like getting a college degree. That's how much there is. That's why I've been trying to be like, oh, it's just this little course and this little course. And I finally realized I'm giving that up. I'm like, no, it basically is like a bachelor's degree. And it's going to take a couple of years. And it's all of these things. And you could pick and choose and you could do it at your own pace. If you truly want to be a proactive, positive, productive person, there's a lot of habits and tricks to learn along the way.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's funny because I did use a lot of this in my business. I mean, it was very systematized. Thank goodness, I love practice management. So when I went and did continuing education, you know, and there was all kinds of, you know, HR, financial, whatever. And, you know, you're trying to grow your business and be a good steward of your money and take care of your employees and all of that. But I just never translated all of that into my home. And it's the planning days. That's the translation for me. I never planned out in advance stuff that went on in my house. Now business, yeah, it was all planned out for the next 2 years or whatever. So I think investing in the planning of it has really helped me move down that road too.
What are some of the things that came up in planning day that you hadn't thought of previously or really made the next session in your life go easier?
Looking ahead at what's coming, event-wise or whatever your needs are going to be for that and breaking it down into the quarters or trimesters, that is how I can get to be proactive. Because if you know you're going to, I don't know, like a holiday music thing, does everybody have clothes that fit? Right. You know, like where are the tickets? Where are you going to keep the tickets? Like it just like the whole planning lets you break it down into smaller steps. So you really are being proactive and not waiting until the day of to realize no one has shoes or a belt or whatever. You know, just that is the one thing I think that's really helped me move to the proactive stage, really.
And you mentioned you were like that in your business, like in your own business, you were like that. So now that you've made the shift, you're like, oh, okay, this is what that looks like in the home, just like you used to do those continuing education units for your work and you would implement those things at work. Now you're implementing them at home. Do you feel that you've now like learned these skills and like, okay, I get it. We plan each trimester and then we set goals for the year and that you're now thinking that way at home kind of permanently instead of just like one cycle at a time?
Oh, no. Yeah. It's an ongoing thing, but I do think you're constantly like tweaking or making it work better or like using the binders or things like that. Like, where am I going to look for this information? Like I've tweaked that a bunch of times because I go to find it and I can't find it. Or then you're like, oh wait, I put it in the whatever. And so you go there and it does take maintenance and making it work for your situation too. But it's a much longer view of my life than it ever was before.
And I think as your kids are going to, you know, continuing education and to whatever schools they want to go to, and then they'll end up graduating and being on their own, you're in a really transitory time of like an extended transitory time of life. And for the whopping like 5 seconds that we were empty nesters before we weren't again, all of a sudden I was like, oh my gosh, like the kids are done with school and they're going to have boyfriends or future boyfriends, girlfriends, future spouses over. Like, we were having like this nice little like adult thing. And I was like, oh, I have always said that when you're empty nesters, you need a lot more entertaining supplies. But then most of the time you don't use your kitchen. Now that's all blown up because our grandson lives with us. But even though I still, you know, now we are where Christmas and Thanksgiving happens and Easter and Mother's Day and all of those things. And so even though we have baby bottles and sippy cups back in our kitchen again, now I'm like, okay, I want to get some other piece of furniture in our dining room because I want to have more platters and serving and we have appetizers every Sunday and Greg grills out steaks and it's super, super fun to be in this quasi adult land also with kids. And so that's going to be a whole new thing for you when they start bringing friends back from college and all of a sudden there'll be so many people in your house and then there'll be nobody in your house again. And it's super, super fun, but it's different.
Yep. And I love that. We have a place where we go fishing and it's, we are the kid camp or whatever. And we usually have like 12 to 20 people there, but there's only Tim and I as adults and all the rest are teenagers. Yeah. So, and we cook and eat and it's so fun. I started doing it on Sundays, just make dinner. The one that's in college will come home, bring some people. Yeah. And it's just fun. It really, I mean, it's, I'm just appreciative of the time and being around all those kids too.
It is fun. And the planning that I find is like, they each have favorite drinks. They each have favorites that they want you to have on hand. I try to have on hand, like things that they forget to buy at the store. Like, oh, do you need to take some paper plates or paper towels back with you? Or like, you know, it's cold and flu season. Hey, we bought you some Mucinex, whatever. So we're kind of like doubling or tripling up. And so we send them home with like parting gifts. Like these things that they're like, do you know how much paper towels cost? I'm like, yes, I do. And here's a roll. Merry Christmas. Like off the door you go. Yeah. So it's kind of, it's really fun, but you can't do that if you haven't planned it. Because you have to, when you go to the store, when you place your order, go, okay, I'm going to double or triple this. So on Sunday, I'm going to make sure that they have what they need going into this next season. If you're just buying it as you need it, then you don't have it to give as your parting gift when they leave on Sunday dinner. Right. So what do you think you have more of now?
Definitely time, or it's just that my time is more organized and I'm not spinning my wheels or wasting time trying to catch up and do things. But really, even it's just peace of mind. I mean, it's peace of mind that, you know, all the bills got paid, where your money's going, you know, it's just, it's that to me more than just the actual time. Cause you're just going to fill the time up.
That peace of mind, it's really freeing, isn't it? Like you're not waiting for the other shoe to drop. I was always waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Yeah.
And now when it does drop, I'm like, oh, okay. I can't believe I missed that, but let's handle it real quick and move on. Versus in the past when that would happen, I'd be like, what else haven't I thought about? And also I don't have time for this. Yeah.
Which is weird because I was never that way at work. Like that was never a concern, you know? And I don't know. You look back. I mean, I don't spend a lot of time looking back, but you look back, you're like, why didn't I just do this here? But I never did. So whatever. I did now.
Yeah. That correlation between school, work, and home, and that we do some things well in all. Like, I love that through line that I figured out. Let's just take the best of all three. We've all been in all three. So we've all experienced all. Why are we not pulling the best of all of them and pulling them into the other ones? So I think that that's really coming through. What else are you using your time for? I know you're not watercoloring.
Nope. I signed up for a class like the first month I retired and it was on Mondays, which is so like, you know, extravagant or whatever, like, oh, I'm wasting time on a Monday. And that is not for me in any way, but mostly we have a puppy. I walk a lot and I'm healthier now because we walk a lot. And a lot of the time just gets spent doing that kind of thing. But I also meal plan more. I waste less food. You know, I cook different recipes sometimes. I think that's part of my husband. He's like, I don't want you to go back to work. Cause somebody said, hey, can you fill in? And I asked him, hey, they want me to fill in for 3 months. And he's like, oh, no, don't do that. And I'm just, I'm available and I've helped a lot more with school and things. I mean, I helped before, but it was always at 11 o'clock at night, probably wasn't my best effort. Mm-hmm, so I've done that a few times and I don't know, I'm busier now that my mom said that too, but I was like, I am busier now than I ever was when I worked. Cause all I did when I worked was work and then try to get the kids.
So yeah. What do you wish you had known sooner?
That you don't have to save all that paper. Like, I wish you had like a concrete, you don't have to save that. You can throw away your electric bill once you've paid it. You will never, ever need to refer back to that ever. because my parents' paper is so categorized. It's like they're going to be in the, I said in the presidential library someday, you know, it's like no one's paper is going to end up there. So mm-hmm. I wish, oh my gosh, I can, like the pounds of paper that I hauled around from college to vet school to my first job to my second job, you know, it's crazy to me, like that I hauled all, it's yeah. thousands of pounds, I'm sure.
Yes.
Just for no reason. But whatever.
Yeah.
It's shredded now.
What advice would you give someone who's just starting out?
Just start. I mean, just do one thing. Whatever you can manage to do consistently, just do that one thing. And that'll buy you some time. And then you can do two things or whatever. And just keep doing that. You know, as much as you can take on, do that and keep going. It'll snowball and you'll be there before you know it.
Carrie, thank you so much for sharing your story.
Thank you. It was really fun. I don't know what I said that would be any help. You know, it's kind of like, I don't know, it's normal. But we also, when I was going through all of this, when we go to veterinary CE, we called them pearls. It was like a small tidbit of information, pearls of veterinary medicine, but you could apply immediately when you got back. And that's what I feel like a lot of this is. It's like one little thing, another little thing, but they all add up to a big thing.
Well, and that is what productivity is. Like, I think people think that if they aren't organized and productive, they can buy a book or take a course or do this one super special thing on their computer, and then they will be a productive person. And the truth is, productive people have built productive habits over a lifetime. Like, productivity is a lifetime pursuit. It is not something you could buy or do in a day or a month or a week or a year. Like, it is literally a lifetime of gleaning all these pearls from all these podcasts and all these courses and all the books and all the people you meet and people you observe. And it's like, oh, I could do that way. And you'll never be done. There's always a little bit more productivity that you can have. And it's fun. Like, once you get the big rocks, then it's fun finding all the little pebbles or the puzzle pieces that work specifically for you in that phase of life. So Carrie, thank you for sharing your pearls with us. That was awesome.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It was great to see you.
Are you ready to share your transformational story with me and the rest of the Organize 365 community? We would love to hear it. Please go to organize365.com/Wednesday and fill out an application. I cannot wait to see your application in my email inbox.